In Luke 9, we have one of the greatest miracles that's told of in the Bible. The miracle of the 5,000 being fed. It's the only miracle that's recorded in all four versions of the gospel, which says it's significant. And we know it, and we all know it, is a testimony of the goodness of God, is a testimony of the generosity of God. Because God is not some tightwad trying to keep us from barely getting along. He wants us to abide and abound. And we can see that in this thing. We can see that if we'll take something small and we'll bring it to Jesus, that Jesus is able to make it more than enough. See, God is trying to tell you that when you add yourself with Him, that it's more than enough. Sometimes we fail to see what we actually have in our hand. Sometimes we fail to see that this thing that I'm holding in my hand is my answer. And see, that's the secret that we learned about shifting the jurisdiction over the offering that we have, shifting the jurisdiction over what is in our hand. But sometimes something even that seems insignificant is more than enough. Sometimes it's just the change of your heart that brings about the change in the circumstance. I was counseled with a friend of mine recently, and he did not have a job and had no money and had nowhere to turn. And I said, let's begin to thank God and tell Him that we trust Him. We just began to thank Him for 5 or 10 minutes there, and something shifted. And within 24 hours, he had not just one, but 3 job offers. God is a God of more than enough. Sometimes that little thing in there that you can give Him is your praise. And it's more powerful than anything else. And I got testimonies I can share about that, but I think today He wants to show and He wants to talk about His witness. He wants to talk about the witness that He's leaving us. We often forget about the gifts and the talents. We often forget about what God has placed in us. And this is what He's beginning to change and transform. Our understanding about what He's put in us. Because the devil wants to beat you down and say, you're not good enough. But it's a lie. We have to begin to recognize that it's a lie. This jewel in Luke 9, which begins in about verse 12, actually has a setting. And that setting begins in verse 1. So if we'll look at Luke 9 and 1. He says, and He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. And He set them out to proclaim the kingdom of God, to proclaim the kingdom of God, and to perform healing. And He said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, nor money. Do not even have 2 tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there and take your leave from there. As for those who do not receive you, as you go out from that city, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. What we see here in verse 1 is God is releasing a commission. He's releasing a commission on the 12 disciples. He's releasing a commission to go out and begin to do the message of the kingdom. Begin to perform the message of the kingdom. He says it's time to go and begin to proclaim the kingdom of God. Houston Revival Center, it's time to proclaim the kingdom of God. It's time to proclaim that which God has already put in you. It's time to proclaim and allow God to have testimony by both your actions and your deeds as well as your mouth. And this is what He's sending them to do. Verse 3, when He says, take neither nothing for your journey. Take nothing for your journey. He says, your dependence is to be upon Me. Your dependence is to be of what I'm providing for you. Your provision is going to come from me. Your provision is going to come from the things that I set you in front of and set for you to do. So there's a personal provision being spoken of here. There's a personal provision being promised here by these words. Now, verse 6 and 7. As departing, they began to go among the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was happening. He was greatly perplexed because it was said by some that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. We talked earlier that it was a jurisdictional shift that was happening with when they received their commission. Now we see the evidence of that shift. Because now they're stepped into something to such an extent that even the governor heard about it. Rick Perry heard about what was going on in Houston Revival Center. He began to say, hey, what's happening down there? Because something's going on. Somebody's out here healing the sick, raising the dead. I think somebody's beginning to set forth the testimony of God, the testimony of Jesus in the house. Clearly, they weren't operating just out of their own strength. See, you know things are changing when you begin to hear the testimony come from other people. When I first got saved, I always thought I was a nice guy. Until I began to hear the testimonies that were coming back from third parties saying how changed I was. And how they could actually begin to see and understand and like me now. See, without Jesus, we don't even know what's coming out of us. We don't even know what's coming out of us. All the hurt and all the pain, I'm sure, was the things that people were seeing. And I had no idea. But see, when Jesus is what's coming out of us, there's a testimony that's being set forth. There's a testimony that's being sent out and recommending you everywhere that you go. See, but this is an interesting thing. Because see, what we have here is the first time in the Bible where other people, besides Jesus, as he walked through here, began doing miracles. This is a testimony and another way for them to begin to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. Because not only can he do the miracles, but he can release others to do the miracles. His commission was more than enough for others to do the miracles from. His commissioning of them and his releasing them to go out was more than enough. And because of that, it began to gather a greater glory unto our Lord. Just as when a mighty warrior, a mighty group of warriors, gives glory to a king by doing great exploits, so is it when disciples begin to do the great exploits of the Master. When they begin to look like their master, when they begin to walk in the image of the master, then they begin to bring greater glory to the Lord. Houston Revival Center, it's time to bring greater glory. It's time to be a greater reflection of who Jesus is in us. These crude and unlearned men were suddenly changed and transformed. Yes, they had been walking with him, but I'm sure they carried a whole lot of the characteristics that they were born with. But now, something's changed. Now, there's a testimony being sent forth. Now, there's a witness being made of who God really is. There's a purpose. Hold your place in Luke 9, because we'll be back. But go over to John 5. John 5 and 36. 5:36 says, but the witness which I have is greater than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. The very works that I do bear witness of me. See, it's time for the works that we're doing to bear witness. The works that we do, now whether it's in the healing, whether it's in deliverance, whether it's in finances, it's the works that we do that bear witness to who God is. Jesus said, don't believe me, believe the works. If you're not going to accept the testimony of Moses telling you that I'm coming, then look at the works. And look here, this is before he said this, where he was saying this. Flip one page over in my Bible. It says 5,000 are fed, chapter 6, verse 1, the 5,000 are fed. He's talking about those works just before this event. He's talking about if you're going to believe the works, believe the works. Because that's the testimony of who I am. That's the testimony of what I really am like, of who God really is. John 15. It gets better because it gets personal. Verse 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And, verse 27, you will bear witness also. Houston Revival Center will bear witness because the Holy Spirit is among them. Houston Revival Center will bear witness because we're listening to the voice of God. Because the voice of and the testimony of Jesus, the testimony of the Holy Spirit is rising up among us. He's bearing witness into what we're doing and saying. Testify, Lord. Testify. Let your testimony stir our hearts, Lord. Lord, let our fuse be wet any longer, Lord, but let it be ignited. Ooh, shut up. God is just as interested in you testifying as he was of those apostles. The point of tonight is for you to realize it's you. It's you that he wants. It's the witness in you that he wants. It's the witness in you that needs to go forth. See, in Luke 9 and 2, he told you to proclaim the kingdom of God. And in Mark 16 and 12, he says, by proclaiming the kingdom of God, he says actually to repent. To repent is more than just not sin. To repent is more than just a turning away from. To repent means to actually change your mind. To change one's mind. To begin to see things and think things in a different way. That's why Paul concentrated so much on the renewing of the mind. He began to testify of us, of the renewing of the mind, that we would think in a different way. Because see, our thoughts are not like God's thoughts until we allow them to be, until he begins to step into us and do something different. You know, when you're standing there in front of somebody in a wheelchair, your thoughts aren't like God's thoughts. Because God's thought says, hey, get up out of there. But our thoughts are like, oh my God, what am I going to do? We've got to renew our mind. We've got to repent for believing self more than we've believed God. We've got to change our mind and begin to see that the miracles of God are for the taking. The miracles of God for us to grab a hold of. They're there. They're in front of us. They're at our hand. They're within. Matthew 10. I'm going to read out verse 1 just for a moment, just so we can see that same story. Having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Same story? We in agreement? All right. Verse 12. He begins to expand what he's talking about here. He says, verse 7, I'm sorry, I told you 12. Verse 7, as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. We've been talking about the kingdom of God being at hand. It means the kingdom is near you. The kingdom has come to you. Quite literally, when the kingdom has approached. And see, what he's telling them to do is go out and make a huge announcement, because the way they were trained is they realized that, and they'd always been told, draw near to God. And now they're being told, God's drawing near to you. Their whole put together, their whole thought process was, if I go make an offering, then I can draw near to God. And God all of a sudden sends them out and says, hey, tell them that I came to them. Tell them that I came to them. Tell them the good news, because I came to them. It's not just they got to draw near to me, but I can come and I have come to them. It's a mind shift. It was a mind shift for them. It was an announcement that began to transform their very thought processes. It gave them an opportunity to repent, because now we have a new way of looking at things. Ephesians 2, rather, says that we were brought near by the blood. Well, if we're being brought near, who came to where? God came to us. God came to us. It's a big difference, because, see, it's the grace of God that has allowed us to come and be entertained in this place. The grace of God that has allowed us to enter in to the very sanctuary of God. And it's out of that grace that we've entered into the right hand. We've studied the right hand for a year plus, and there's that grace that brings us into that place. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the testimony of God. Because He wants to instill something in you that transforms everybody you come in contact with. He wants to instill such a vibrancy in you that you begin to shake. That you begin to rattle and roll until God has something that He can steal and deliver for you. As He delivers it out of you, it will shake and shake the nation around you. As you stand there in His presence, you realize what a privilege it is. As you stand there in His presence, you rest in this grace, you realize what a privilege it is. And the last thing that you want to do in that place is to do something that's going to remove you from there. You want to conquer sin? Get to know God. If you want to conquer sin, step into His grace. Because as you step into His grace, then there's a maturing that can happen. Because now all of a sudden you know that you're accepted. You don't have to worry about it. You know that you're on fire. You know that God loves you because you're in His presence and because He's right there for you. And when you touch that place, there's nothing in you that wants to violate that. When you touch that, there's only the drawing of God in this, and He draws you back and back and back. That's how we overcome. It's to begin to seek and realize the kingdom is at hand. It's the kingdom in us. Galatians 1, 15 and 16, Paul says that the Father was pleased. The Father was pleased to reveal Jesus in Him, to reveal Christ in Him. The Father is pleased to reveal Christ in you. He's pleased to reveal it, because that's what the testimony does. It reveals Christ in you. I'll try not to spit on you. It's the testimony of Jesus. It's the spirit of prophecy. And as we begin to prophesy, that the Lord of the Lord begins to go forth. As we begin to prophesy, the testimony of Jesus begins to go forth. As we enter into this testimony, then life begins to happen. Life begins to pour forth out of us like a river. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's an announcement. God has drawn close to you. He has drawn close to you. He is beholding you and desiring you and drawing you into Himself. You know, He began to tell him many things here. He says, go out, verse 8, heal the sick. heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That's the commission that he gave them. He said, here, set forth a testimony of who I am this way. Paul said, don't believe my words. I didn't come to you in eloquent words. I came to you in demonstration and power so that you would believe upon the works. This is what we're to work for. This is where we're to get into. This is what we're to begin to expect and begin to stand until it happens. We cannot lose sight of the goal here. We cannot lose sight of the whole purpose of what we're here to do. It's not even a goal. It's just a stepping stone along the way. Somehow the church lost this thing right here that he said that we're to be doing. And it's time for us to reawaken and re-expect that God's going to answer. God's going to answer. You want to know partly how? Look at verse 19. This is partly how he's going to do it. LaRue, this might be especially important to you now. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak. For it shall be given in you in that hour, in that 5 minutes, what you are to speak. For it's not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Amen. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. When we deliver truth, not everybody wants to hear. But you know what? God is, he's looking to reach more than this itching ear. He's looking to set forth. And you know what? I believe, LaRue, that there was at least one person in that room whose life will forever be changed. One person will hear it. Maybe more. But guarantee God had an assignment for at least one. I know I've seen it in action. The Lord sent me into a messianic group, fellowship, with a word of grace. And it divided the fellowship. Those who received the word went on with God. Those who didn't, their lives fell apart over the next 10 years. I've watched and observed. And they fell away. There's times, there's a moment of decision when you hear the word and you hear the truth and God is demanding a decision out of you. Exactly. Seize the opportunity. Seize the moment. And even if it doesn't, even if you don't understand it, you grab a hold and say, God, I heard truth. I don't understand it, but I heard truth. I did the very same thing in the upper room when this man, because he began to say something one day, and he said, there's somebody out there who's disputing this in their mind. And I said, ooh, that's me. He said, you're thinking this. And it was exactly the words I was thinking. Now, I had a choice. My choice was to surrender. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. This just goes beyond what I've been taught. But Lord, I want to hear from you. And I stuck it through. It's up to you. You can go on with God or you can get stuck in that place. It's time for us to remove the veils that we've allowed sometimes, guys. Time for us to take the veils off. You know, the only thing that can be between you and God is you. Because God's already declared, you've already heard it, he's declared his desire for you. So we need to, those things, those inhibitions, those fears, whatever it is, we need to drop those veils so that God can testify. Don't be anxious about what you will speak, because God's going to tell him, he's going to give it to you in that hour. There's a victory over fear that he's delivering to you. There's a victory over fear being spoken of in those words. There's a victory over the fear and the intimidation of the world. There's a victory over the machinations of the enemy because he wants to shut you up. And he doesn't have that authority unless you give it to him. He does not have that authority. You have the authority and you have the right to look him in the eye and say, shut up, stupid. I say that on purpose because a lady that I know, that's the way she used to speak when she was dealing with something. And you know what? God honored her. To us, it seems crude, maybe. She wasn't worried about that. She just wanted to know that this God has put something inside of me that's going to change this situation. And I'm here to enforce it. Victory over fear. If we go back to Luke 9, and he begins to speak there about Herod. And, you know, Herod was one of the guys. This is Herod Antipas, who was the son of Herod the Great. And this man was personally testified to beyond any comparison, beyond probably any other man alive, because he heard both Jesus personally and John the Baptist continually, night after night after night. He would come and entertain and speak and call out. And yet the man, in all his opulence, failed to see the truth that was right there in front of him. There's a warning in Herod. Because that warning is sometimes we can get so caught up in our flesh that we fail to see what God is putting in front of us. We fail to see the truth of our deliverer who is right there. Side note, verse 10. And when the apostles, oh, do you sound a shift? Do you see it? When the apostles, look back to verse 1. He called the 12. He called the 12 disciples. Verse 10. When the apostles, this is the moment that the apostles stepped into their apostleship. Because now they had the testimony residing inside them. They had the testimony active and powerful inside of them. They knew who they were in God all of a sudden because of what had been released in them in the commission and in the action that followed. This is when they became the apostles whom we know. I thought you'd like that one. They're the sent ones. They now knew what had been written. They now were ready to enforce what had been written. Now they had the witness inside them. There's nothing like seeing a blind eye open. Because you got the witness inside you now. When you have the witness alive in you, everything becomes possible because you're no longer looking at the size of the opposition. You're looking at the size of your God. It's time to look at the size of our God and not the circumstance anymore. Let the testimony of our God begin to determine what you look at, what you say. Let the testimony of our God begin to be that thing which pours out of your mouth and is dwelling in your heart. This is when the disciples, they returned. The apostles returned and they gave an account to him of all that they had done. And by taking them with him, he withdrew himself to a city called Bethsaida. And the multitudes were aware of this and following him, welcoming him, they began speaking to him about the kingdom of God. And curing those who had need of healing. Thank you, Jesus. See, Jesus tried to withdraw so he could begin to discounsel with them. Because he does know and recognize, even Jesus recognized, you can't go run in 24 hours a day. You got to come back and behold who God is. You got to come back and begin to receive what God is putting forth. You got to come back and begin to refresh and renew, rejuvenate, and then go back out and release. But evidently they weren't allowed that opportunity because of the crowds. When something's happening, there's going to be a crowd. When something's happening so powerful as this, there's going to be a crowd. There's going to be a crowd everywhere that you go. You're not going to be able to walk through Walmart without drawing a crowd. Healing's on line 9. Deliverance on 10. God's going to begin to do it because he wants to do it. He's looking for a people to do it with. And the day began, verse 12, the day began to decline. And the 12 came with and said to him, "Send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside, finding lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place." Look at his response. He said to them, "Houston Revival Center, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat." We've always looked at this as something that Jesus did. I'm here to tell you that's not what the Word says. I got your curiosity. And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. Let's perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. For there are about 5,000 men." He said to his disciples, "Have them recline to eat in groups of 50. And they did so and had them all recline. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And looking to heaven, he blessed them and broke them and kept giving them to the disciples. And kept giving them to the disciples. And kept giving them to the disciples. Who went and prepared them and took them." Guess what? Jesus looks into heaven. He blesses it. He shifts the jurisdiction over it. He begins to break it and he hands it to the disciple. And the disciple now has to take that little fragment of fish and that fragment of loaf that he's received. And he has to begin to walk over to 50 people and stand there in front of 50 people and begin to do the same thing. Look to Jesus. Bless what he has. And break it off and hand it. Because that's what he was looking for. See, God was showing him, not only is there a personal provision, but there's a corporate provision that I'm looking for you to walk in. I'm looking for you to walk in this corporate provision because this is what you're going to have to do. I'm not always going to be here, fellas. I need you to do this. It's not just what Jesus did. The great part of the story is it's what the disciples, who are now the apostles, did. It multiplied as they walked over to that company of 50. You know, when they first stepped over there in that direction, they had to be going, "God, what are you doing? What am I going to do here? I've got half a fish and half a loaf, and I got 50 men who are fixing to mob me. And when they're done, those children are going to stomp all over me." You had to have some faith. You had to begin to walk and react. You had to begin to believe that something that God has already charged you with, because guess what? He gave them authority over the spirits, and poverty and lack is a spirit. Poverty and lack is a spirit, and he had already given them authority and said, "Poverty and lack, no more, have some bread. Have some bread. The very bread of life, the fountain of all that lives, is handed out from heaven." And they got to be a part of that process. They get to look at him and go, "Jesus, I trust you. I trust you. I'm going to do it all your way." Obedience. Simple obedience was required on their behalf. They had just gone out and had this glorious time. They had just gone out and seen God's provision, his healing, and these miracles happening at their very own hand. And now they had to come and walk the walk with Jesus. And they all ate, verse 17, were satisfied. And the broken pieces which they had left over were picked up, 12 baskets full. And it came about while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, 12 baskets, 12 apostles, 12 missions complete. 12 completed missions. Each one had done their part in the same fashion that the Master had, above and beyond. More than enough. More than enough. 12 reports, more than enough. more than enough. 12 men met the call, more than enough. Houston Revival Center, it's time for us to meet the call, more than enough. I think we need to make that our new logo, more than enough. See, Jesus was expanding their understanding. It wasn't just about what you can do for you. It wasn't just about what you can do for one, but it's about what God has put in you for the many. There's no one in the United States of America who does not have a call to stewardship. We live in the most blessed country. There are people who are trying to destroy it, and I don't think that they can, because God has more than enough, and there's more than enough for you and in you to do and become the steward that God has asked you to become. More than enough. A steward of the gift, a steward of the talent, a steward of the finances that He's placed in your hands. More than enough. He's expanding their understanding because He not only has power to save, but to nourish. Not only power to heal, but to provide. Not only power to deliver, but to flourish. I don't know about you, but when I'm in the sozo room, I don't want them to just get barely well. I want them to flourish. I want them to come so abundantly over and above and beyond the top of anything they could have ever imagined that everyone can see the testimony on their face. That's what we're looking for. More than enough. Go back to John. That's chapter 5. It gets personal now. John 5, verse 37. It says, "And the Father who sent me, He has borne witness of me, and you have neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form. And you do not have His word abiding in you, for you do not believe Him who He sent." Now, because of who He's speaking to, He's speaking this in the negative. But that doesn't change the message that's being conveyed. The message is this. Is to have the witness of the Father. Is to have His Word abiding in you. When His Word abides in you, you have the witness of the Father to go forth with. This is what He was telling them. If you had known me, if you had known the Father, if that Word that's so available to you had been residing in you, you would have known me. You would have understood the works. You would have understood the testimony that's been set before you. So what we're looking for is to have that Word abiding in us. And see, we've been teaching about that through the right hand. We've been teaching about through the living waters. But there's a place where we need to have that Word abiding in us. And it comes from standing in here and beginning to come into alignment with the image that's in the Word. I didn't know any of these things until God began to show it. He said, I was using the Mount Hebron one, the contending series, the one, there's one on Mount Hebron, and I was using it to just go into the presence of God. And I woke up and God said, Luke 9. And I just began to take those first two verses of Luke 9 and I began to hold them in me. And I began to just read them and rehearse them to myself. And as I began to rehearse them, those words, I began to rehearse that God is giving me a commission. And as I began to hold that place of that commission in me, I began to see the image of it in my mind. And I began to speak to myself out of the image that I was seeing. And as I began to declare the promises that God was showing me out of that image, I let the Word define the course. I let the Word begin to speak to my future. And the more that I let this happen within me, the more that I began to behold this image, the more He began to change and expand it. And expand it to one more thing and one more thing and one more thing and one more thing until what you've heard tonight is what came forth. Because he's expanding the word. He's expanding the word in us when we'll behold the word. When we'll behold the word, when we'll look at it and hold on to it and mull it over. This is a true meditation because we're meditating what God, the image that God has placed in the word. He's taken that thing that's a seed form. That word is a seed for you. And he's taken that seed and he begins to expand it and nurture it and nourish it until it takes shape. Until out of that, a place of faith, a little twig of faith begins to stick up through the ground. And it takes shape. And it takes on nourishment. And it takes on more nourishment. And it gets exposed to the sun. And it takes on more nourishment. And becomes the mighty thing that God needs it to become in you. You have more than enough. Out of this place of beholding it, beholding the testimony, knowing that it is in you. The testimony of God is in you. The presence of God is already in you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's all in you. I'm not looking for that 100-year-old faith I want today. I want to know what God's doing today. I want you to go to 1 John 5. But I can tell you, if you'll behold the image, if you'll behold the seed of God in this word, it's going to change you in the same way that it's already feel. I can feel it changing me. And I can feel it changing you. First John 5, verse 10. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who believes in the Son of God has the witness, where? In himself. This is your testimony. Jesus is testifying both in you and through you. He will be glorified as we begin to exemplify that which has been instilled within us. I don't think it's any coincidence that if you'll drop down to verse 14, look what begins to happen out of this place of having the witness in us. And this is the confidence we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that he hears us. And whatever we ask, we know that we have the request we have asked from him. Because the testimony of God, the witness is in you. The witness is alive in you. Why wouldn't he back you up when the witness is there? Why wouldn't he back you up when the witness is being explained and exemplified before the world? Why wouldn't he back you up when your heart is to be a witness and a testimony of Jesus? One final thing. We ask, he hears us. Go to Mark 16. All the Baptists in here will be very familiar with this. Just in case you were saying, well, Chuck, that's great for those disciples who became apostles. Guess what? Verse 15, Mark 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. This is your commission right now, right here. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. They will drink deadly poison. It shall not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He spoke that to them and then was received into heaven. He's speaking it to you tonight. It's your commissioning. It's the same commission. Go. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out the demons. Heal the lepers. Walk with him. Walk with him. Dare to walk with him. Dare to believe that he is who he says he is. Dare to believe that that thing is there when you step out. And as you do so, he's going to charge you. He's going to energize you, and his grace will be more than sufficient for you because you've found yourself in alignment with his testimony. Glory to God. Amen.